Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, we thank you.
Yes.
God, we bless you.
You are. Oh, God, we can park right there and leave the engine running. God, we thank you for who you are. You are Rose of Sharon. You are Lily of the Valley. You are the fairest of 10,000. You are Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You're the one who holds it all together. And God, we say thank you. Oh, God, from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Oh, God, before the mountains was formed, before you scooped out the seas, God, you've been God. And God, forever you shall be. So, God, won't you speak through me? Oh, God, use me for your glory. Oh, God, I thank you for the time we share. I thank you how you meet me when I need you the most. God, I thank you that you wake me up in the middle of the night with a song. God, you speak to my heart. Oh, God, and I thank you for keeping my mind. So, God, won't you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight? Because, God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And, God, won't you bless the hearers in this place? Oh, God, whether virtually or in this place right now. God, you know what your children need. You know what they came into this service with, oh, God. What they've been holding in their heart. Oh, God, but won't you have your way? Remove every obstacle. Silence the voice of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. God, we thank you. You may have your seats in the presence of Almighty God. 1232. Amen. Ready, set, go. I'm already crying. Halfway done. Look at that. Look at that. Already in my tears. Bye, kids. Y'all have a good time. I thank the Lord for him being my God. You know, a lot of people say they know God, but they really don't. And when I say they really don't, I'm talking about the people who feel like it's God and, right? God and weed. God and crystals. God and superstition. God and, you know, they don't really know. I've been reading the chronological Bible for my yearly reading. Boy, it paints such, it brings it all together. I love reading chronologically. I'm like, so that's why okay, now I get it. Okay, it's so good. But there was a portion where one of the kings of Israel decided to go to the soothsayers and the leaders of Baal and ask if he would live. And Elisha had to get up. God told him, Is there not a man of God? Is there not a God in Israel? Go to that king and let him know, because he did this, he ain't never going to get up off that bed. And I thought to myself, we still do the same things today. We go to God when we want to or when we feel that we need to, and then as soon as stuff get better, we gone again. It's kind of like, y'all remember when we used to play outside? And remember how mom and daddy said, don't keep running in and out the house? You letting all the cold air out? So if you're going to be outside, stay outside. But you would like to come back inside every now and then because you want to grab something to drink or refresh yourself, use the restroom, etc. But can't keep running in and out. But it's interesting because God doesn't say that to us. He says you're going to keep running in and out, but there's going to come a time you're going to try to run back in. You can't. And I learned, living in the Perry household, you keep your eye on your leader, okay? If daddy said, if he looked like he ready to go, you better be ready to go too, right? But if he said, don't be running in and out of that house, and you got to make your choice, because if that door is locked and that screen door is locked, because the screen door key was different from the front door key, and if that's locked, you can't. I don't want to be on the out. Because when you got a knock, here come the whooping. Because you didn't do, you follow me? This is not part of the message, but it was in my mind, so I had to let it out. Intrusive thoughts. And I think about how we as people, we have not changed humanity. We keep doing the same stuff over and over. I'm reading Isaiah right now, and it's as if I'm reading what's happening right now, but this was Isaiah's time. And unfortunately, we struggle. This sin nature, it's a reason why we need a Savior. And so that's why I said, I'm so grateful that I know him to be my God. I'm grateful that I know him. I don't have no question marks about him. You can't sway me another way. I'm so grateful that I know my Savior. So when I hear people preaching adulterated gospels, I tune them out. When everybody talking about gimme, gimme, I must have, we ain't going to talk about obedience because come on now. Hello, somebody. I'm so grateful that God has kept me. Even when I didn't want to be kept, he still kept me. So tonight, today, whatever this time might be, he keeps on keeping me. You can say it to yourself or to your neighbor if you want to. He keeps on keeping me. That's a testimony. Okay, so I was minding my own business, headed up to Portland, and I was on the Delta, it was a jet. It was a little tiny jet, two rows this way and one row the other way. It was, yeah, I don't like them small planes. But the Lord blessed me to get on there and get on off. So I said, okay, God, we good. And I'm learning, Sister Jennifer. I know you know this as a worshiper. Sometimes God will, he'll talk to you and you could tell when you know he's trying to tune you in because wherever that word is, it's been amplified in other places. You'd be like, what? So I have been praying on the prayer line and I always say, God, thank you for keeping me because that's what gets in my heart. God, thank you for being my keeper. And it just kept ringing out. And I'm in school, I'm doing different things, and I keep seeing the word keep, and it was like it was on a billboard. Keep, keep, keep. So now I'm on the plane, can't do nothing else but listen to my gospel music and read my Bible. I had the nerve, the unmitigated gall, to go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and I looked up the definition of keep. Because every now and then, we got to go back to the definition. Sometimes connotation becomes our definition. We can't let that happen. Not all things. We have to remember what is the word, what is the root of the word, the etymology of the word. Where did it come from? Where did it originate? What does it mean? Because if you talk to these young people, yep, what? What does that mean? They was like, oh, you an op. What's an op? Is that an enemy? Is that a friend? Is it a foe? I don't understand. So we have to go to the word. All right. So let's look at the definition. Keep. The very first definition is a verb. And a verb is something, it's not just a description, because description is more an adjective, but a verb is the action of it. It's the dominance of it. It's the doing of it. So when you see that word keep, you'll see kept as the past tense or keeping as the active portion. And so when I looked at the definition, the first definition says to retain in one's possession of power. He keeps on keeping me. He retains us in the possession of his power. Another portion of keep. It says to refrain from granting, giving, or allowing. He keeps on keeping me. I got some scriptures to justify what I'm saying. Because I don't want y'all to think I'm just up here trying to just have a little talk and just, you know, it's not Tuesday, so she's bored, so she's getting back up here again. No, no, no. He keeps on keeping me. I had to look at this. He's actively preserving, retaining one's possession of power, refraining from granting or giving or allowing. And then the other definition of that says to have control. He keeps on keeping me. Now, but, you know, just like with Miriam, you have the first definition, then it gives you, or definition two, gotta love English, to take notice of by appropriate conduct, such as to fulfill, such as to be faithful to. He keeps on keeping me. To act fittingly in relation to. Other definition, to preserve, maintain, such as to watch over, defend, and keep us from harm. He keeps on keeping me. Another one can say to tend or to support, kind of like how you would tend to a garden. He keeps on keeping. I didn't have this last definition on the screen, and so I'm just going to say one of the things I thought, it says to detain, hold back, restrain, and save. I'm on Delta's little jet, minding my little business, headed to Portland, well, first to Seattle, and I'm trying not to lose all my cool, because all I just wanted to yell to, he keeps on keeping me. He has saved me. He has held back what wasn't for me, and even what was for me. That death, hell, and the grave was for me, but he did. He preserved me from that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, I love you so much, I don't want you to go where I'm not at. He keeps on keeping me. Let's get to the scripture. Psalms 121, New Living Translation, just verse 7 and 8. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. He keeps on keeping me. Well, I gave you some definitions. Let's look at some more ways that he keeps. Even if we look at verse 3 of 121, he says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you neither slumbers nor sleeps. Our God is a keeper. Some of my married folks, you say about your spouse, oh, he or she's a keeper. And then sometimes you say, I don't mean that. I want to find a refund line quickly. But, you know, appreciation, depreciation is real. Amen. You ain't going to get market value. Amen. But he keeps us. Verse 5 says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. When you hear, okay, you would have thought I went to school for English, but I didn't. And I'm sure some of my English teachers somewhere are just so excited if they could hear this. But that Lord is, that's active. That's not subjective. That's not passive. That's not question mark. The Lord is. That means it's present tense as past tense and future tense at the same time. He keeps on keeping me. Well, let's look at other ways that he keeps us. You know, I love the word of God, because when we get into the scriptures, we get to chance to understand what he said then, he means today. Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, it cuts real deep, it cuts clean and deep. It ain't no, he don't leave no meat on the bones when he cuts it. He fillets us right down the middle just so he can get to the root of what we are. And when he does that, he has a way of, he's like the best chef in the kitchen. You know, you watch the Iron Chefs and stuff. They got the little basket, and you have 30 minutes to do X, Y, and Z. And sometimes they're getting down to the wire, and they still haven't even cracked the egg. But the Lord, not only he is the best chef, and you trying to figure out, well, what you going to do with just 6 items? God said, let me show you. What are you going to do with a little girl from Ontario who struggled with it? Let me show you what I can do. If she just places herself in my hand, she's already in my hand, but I need her to freely and choosely, wisely me. God is such a gentleman, he's not going to impose his will upon you. He wants you to choose him. He wants you to look at him the way he looks at us. He wants us to see him in his glory, in his splendor, in his power, and say, Lord, I give myself to you. I don't want to hold nothing back. I want to freely live for you because you sent your son to die for me, and you didn't stay there. You rose with all power because you love me. And he did all that because he keeps his promise. Psalms 103, verse 10 through 12, he does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Verse 11 says, for his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height is from the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He does this because remember the definition of keep, he's retaining, he's preserving, he's making sure that I have use of you. Some folks can't keep a secret, okay? It depends on what secret you give me. This depends. I'm like, ooh, that's good. Wonder, ooh. Then sometimes I'll be trying to have to notify my face, Jen. When people tell me something I'm supposed to already not know, I'm like, oh. I'm like, I knew that 6 months ago because they had told me. We might not, because we're fallible. We can't keep our promises all the time. We can have good intentions, but we can have very poor execution. But not God. Perfect execution every step of the way. He keeps his promise. Reading through the word of God, and you see how he promised Abram what he would do for Abram, even how he would deliver Abram's descendant before he even had a son. He said, I'm going to give them the promised land. And them jokers still didn't believe that God was going to, he called it the promised land. I made a promise to you. I was riding with my dad on Thursday, headed down to the service. And I was so happy in my heart because I said, you know, God, I get to have these moments with my father. I'm grateful. I'm not working the full-time paid job like I used to, so I can jump up and go with him or go to the hospital and see this. I can do that. And I said, God, I might not like the uncomfortability of not having the financial liquidity that I once had. But God, I thank you that over paycheck, you've given me purpose. And you keep me in my own home. You keep me driving my own car. You're keeping me paying these bills. They might be late, but they're getting paid. Well, a little late fee ain't going to hurt nobody, right? Who needs credit? Well, you got Jesus. Pay your bills on time. Don't listen to that part. Just, you know, do what God's called you to do. But I'm being honest, just telling the truth, because he's a keeper. He preserves. I had been, you know, okay, this is mama too. I did not know my mom hadn't talked to you. When you text me the other morning, I thought, just assume mama had already talked to you. I didn't know that the Lord had talked to you. I didn't know that till yesterday evening. And so let me just bring everybody in. I have been praying for a full-time position, because let me tell you something. I grew up in a household where my parents taught, if you're not an asset, you're a liability. And I don't ever want to be a liability. And so when the Lord told me to leave Mount San Jacinto College, I said, okay, God, I'm obey. Because I'm trying to do everything that you called me to do. Now, years ago, I used to say, people ask me, Camille, you had all the money that you needed. What would you do? Oh, I would do ministry full-time and do Be Healed and, you know, teach part-time for the colleges. Well, I'm doing ministry full-time, guys. I am, and I'm teaching part-time, but I don't have all the money that. So because of that, my uncomfortability was becoming an issue for me because my sustainability was becoming in question. And sometimes we as people are so dependent on sustainability by the natural that we forget that we serve a supernatural God. We forget that he's the same God that told Peter to look in the fish's mouth and get what you need out. We're forgetting he's the same one who fed the multitudes with just two little fish and five loaves of bread. We forget that he's the same God that told Elijah to tell the woman to get all the jars. Tell your sons, bring all the jars. Call your neighbor and family them. Get the jars and close the door and keep pouring and keep pouring. And it wasn't until they had no jars left that the oil ran out. He's still the same God. So, I'm at the conference. Fell on Monday. That was the whole situation. Sister Sandy will catch you up if you haven't already known. She wasn't there, but apparently she was there. Tuesday, I go to the conference, kind of limping, kind of stiff. But I'm there, and I meet this woman named Sarah. She's a faculty member at some college. She just started talking to me. Yes. Okay, I'm talking back. And she begins to ask the question. She said, oh, so what do you do? And I said, oh, well, you know, I do part-time. I teach part-time over at RCCD. And, you know, she said, are you looking for full-time? I said, oh, yeah, looking for full-time. And it was like I heard heaven jump in. That's not what I told you. Trying to still talk to Sarah, but I'm getting, okay. And but in my heart, I'm like, is that why? Because I have applied for position. Y'all understand something. Camille didn't go to school for no reason. Camille went to school, first of all, because Kermit and Sandy told her to. Then after that, it was because I wanted to put off my student loans. So that's why I initially went and got my master's. And why I'm in seminary now, I'm just keep going. Apparently I like school. And I never thought I would ever say that, but I do. But I heard him say, but that's not what I told you to do. So I'm wrestling, going up the escalator after I leave Sarah, and I'm like, so is that why all the positions I know I'm qualified for ain't come through? Is that why? Like, come on, like, look how, you know, I got a house, you know, I got this, I got that, like, I ain't trying to be no liability. And God kept speaking to me. What have I called? And it was like he replayed my voice. I would do ministry full time and teach part time. And I was like, oh, now you want to bear witness. That's great. That's awesome. So later that night, I'm trying to tell my mom. And as I'm talking to my mom, I just start crying and praying. And I said, Father, I repent for allowing the woes of life to make me feel crunched in, that I thought that this would be the sustaining place. But he told me when we were sitting at the women's retreat in August of last year, I'm showing you Philippians 4:19. And you know what's so interesting? I didn't have to pay for certain stuff this past weekend. People was putting little stuff in my hand. I said, you know, when you start to think about it, God provides for his people. The Lord who neither slumbers nor sleeps, he is our keeper. He knows what we need before we even ask for it. He knows. And so all we got to do is position ourselves to receive. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. The enemy loves to distort the reality so you can stop believing the truth. The enemy wants to paint a picture that it's insurmountable, unreconcilable. It's impossible. That's what the enemy likes to do. But Jesus said, but if you would just have a little faith, size of a mustard seed, if you speak to that mountain and say, mountain, be moved, it shall be cast into the sea. He said, if you believe and don't doubt, I show you how good in God I am, but I'll do it even to the point where even the heathens will know it was me. He's a keeper. He keeps keeping me. So when you text me and you said, I want to pray in agreement with you, I just assumed that mama had talked to you. I told mama, I said, I know you talked to mama too, and you told her. She was like, I ain't said a word. She said, I ain't even told your daddy. And I was like, that's the draw card. I ain't even told your daddy. Like she just put down an ace, you know, ace of spades or something. Or a high joker for my spade people. And that was the confirmation I needed. God, the uneasiness that I've been feeling is because I haven't wanted to surrender that part, because I want to make sure I'm being an asset, not a liability. But I reckon for Camille Rochelle Perry in this day and age, her greatest asset is her faith and trust in God. To believe him for the impossible. To trust him when it doesn't even look like it's doable. And because God, you are my source and my strength, as long as you keep waking me up, you're going to keep showing up. Because if you don't want me to see what you're going to do, you would have called me back home. But I keep waking up. You keep waking up. He's about to show up. And even if he withdraws our breath, his breath from our bodies, we get to see him face to face. Psalms 145:13 says, for your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generation. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. He keeps all his promise. He said what I said back then, I still mean it today. Because I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's why he would introduce, he said, I'm the God of your ancestor Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What I swore to my servant David, Solomon, I'm going to show up just because what I said to your daddy and him. God, thank you that you keep your promise. Reading over even Isaiah, when he told him, he said, listen, I'm going to send my servant down there to put him in captivity. They're going to be down there, but just after a little while, when my anger is no longer burning against them, I'll bring them out and I'll take care of the people that messed them up. This is my promise. Oh, because he keeps, he preserves, he maintains, he tends to, he does it because he's in control. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep Jesus, the Son of the living God. Master, Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords, will keep us in perfect peace who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So when my heart is overwhelmed, when I'm getting in anxiety, pumping it, and I'm starting to feel the weight of the world, I can look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth because he's my keeper. Proverbs 3:26. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. He's concerned. Jojo, you getting ready to go to the Navy. And you're going to hear a lot of things. You're going to see a lot of things. But nephew, I promise you, if you keep your mind on Jesus, if you know in whom you are and whose you are, you won't be swayed by the things of this life. You'll say, Jesus, I'm here because you got me here. So lead me, Lord. Guide me. Show me the path. And you focus, he'll bless your socks off. You don't have to be a casualty of the wars of mankind. You don't have to be a statistic to certain people's thoughts and opinions. You can live for him because he's your keeper. What happens is sometimes in church we hear the scene. I'm getting a little older now, and I'm realizing that all the times when I heard Pastor Tuggle Sr. and Mother Tuggle and Mother Bennett and Sister Catherine Davis talk about, oh, he's been keeping me. I'm like, yeah, because you old. You, of course, you know, I can see it. He won't necessarily keep her teeth would often fall out a little bit. But he didn't keep them gums. However, he's still a keeper. God rest his soul. Love him. And it's easy when you see the older people, you hear them say, oh, God is your keeper. You forget, as a young person, he's been your keeper too. Because every street that you cross hasn't been because safe drivers have paid attention to you. It hasn't been because stray bullets weren't meant for you. You have to know that he's your keeper. His keeping power is not reserved for a certain denomination, a certain ethnicity or nationality or political. He's a keeper. If you want to be kept, he'll keep you. Jude, last verse. 24 and 25. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling. Says keep you falling away. You mean, God, even though I get tempted to want to go back, to go backwards, you can keep my foot from slipping? You don't want me to go back to the bad decision makings of yesteryear. You'll keep my mind? Thank you. You're telling me you'll keep me from falling? I don't have to fall into the traps and the temptations and the snares and the wiles of the enemy because, God, you're keeping me? I don't have to say yes to that. I can keep saying no because you're keeping me? He's able to keep us from falling away, and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. When I stand before Jesus on that great getting up morning, or whenever he comes getting, after the appointed time to die, after that the judgment. But he's going to stand, and God being the righteous judge that he is. And even though the accuser of the brethren who likes to bring up every accusation, and sometimes it's the truth of what we've done. We've said the wrong thing. We went the wrong way. But at the end of the day, all we are covered in the blood of Jesus. Those who have accepted to stand before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, with not no fault, not say, oh, no, get back, no, cover your eyes. I get to see him for who he is because he's a keeper. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all times. Amen. And because he keeps on keeping me. Oh, to be kept by God. That old hymn they were singing in the church, oh, to be kept. To understand that God, even on my worst day, is still a great day because you're keeping me. With pain in my body, God, the fact that I could feel anything because you're keeping me. I might not have what I think that I thought I would have at this time, but God, I'm learning it ain't my time anyway. It's your time because you created time. And you're the same God that told Joel that you will redeem the time. You're the same God who provides for me over and over again. There's some people in this room who are survivors. Survivors of domestic violence. Survivors of cancer. Survivors of broken hearted syndrome. And God has kept you. Everything and everybody told you to lose your mind. Be somewhere in a closet rocking yourself to sleep in a white jacket. But God has kept you. Oh, God, thank you for keeping our minds. Thank you for keeping us strong. Thank you for keeping breath in Papa David's body. God, thank you, because you are a keeper. And as long as I live, I'm going to keep hastening to his throne. Every time troubles rise, I'm going to keep going to my God in prayer. Every time my back seems against the wall, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. He said, if you keep on seeking me, oh, you'll find me. If you keep on asking, if you keep on knocking, I'll answer. Let's keep on doing for him because he keeps on doing for us.
Wow, how many know he's a keeper? Amen. And he keeps us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Praise God. He's a keeper. Praise in the midnight hour, he's a keeper. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank God how he has kept my daughter, born with a heart condition, and he kept her. She had this terrible infection, sepsis, and God kept her. See, he's a keeper. And as she quoted the scripture, he'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind stayed on him. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for perfect peace. Amen. I want to rest in Jesus. Amen. I'm so glad he did the heavy lifting. I don't have to try to carry stuff around. I can give it to him because he can handle it. See, thank you, Lord. Thank you. So we give God glory. Let's give God praise for that word today. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.